The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. And we're going to be listening to an encouragement talk now from Senior Assistant Teacher Alan Richardson.
Thank you. Someone unmuted me. I was looking a couple weeks ago at the New York Times online, and a piece caught my eye that was about micro-adventures. That sounded like something I would like. So I looked into it. And apparently micro-adventures, this is a kind of trend or a meme. And somebody wrote a book about micro-adventures. And the way they work is you, to have an adventure, you don't need to go to Nepal or to Denali National Park or to the Amazon or Kauai. You can just go within an hour of your house, and you don't have to go on a weeks-long trek. You can just go for a long afternoon. And so for us in the Boston area, that might be going to the Middlesex Fells or going to the Blue Hills. And on these micro adventures close to home, you can experience moments of awe, not A-H, but A-W-E, awe, where you're just taken by something or something takes you out of yourself. So maybe you're in the Blue Hills and you see a red fox. And for a moment, all your usual thoughts are suspended. Maybe you're in the fells and you hear the call of a pileated woodpecker and it pierces your heart. And you don't need to go camping in Yellowstone National Park. You can just set up a tent in your backyard and maybe you'll see a shooting star and have this moment of awe. And so, yeah, I thought this is wonderful. What a great trend. You know, I hope lots of people start having these micro adventures. And I also thought, you know, kind of limited too, because there are so many more opportunities. And it seemed to me that what we're being called micro adventures are close to what we call something like off the cushion practice, or at this retreat, what we've been calling home practice. Or maybe just simply what we call living life. Because these adventures are everywhere. And you don't even need to drive 40 minutes to have one. You just need to walk out the door. Not even that. And I thought maybe we needed another concept of mini micro adventures or even nano adventures. Adventures that you can have moment after moment if you are open to them. These nano adventures, we have another term for, which is Dharma gates. And we say Dharma gates are boundless, they are countless, and constantly presenting themselves to us. Only a matter of our opening our minds and opening our hearts to them. They are there for us. We don't have to seek them. So what are these like, these nano adventures? I can tell you about a few of mine in recent days as I've been walking around the neighborhood, which I try to do every day. And so I'm walking down the sidewalk and I see this improbable flower kind of awkwardly perched on this long stalk coming out of a hosta plant that looks like more like a cabbage that could never have a flower. And yet it's pushed this pale lavender flower up. And so for a moment, there's just this flower in all its wild improbability, in all its lovely pale lavender. And it's not just that there's me and the hosta flower in the universe. There's just the hosta flower. There's this heart opening. And it just lasts a second. I walk on. And yet this is the magnanimous mind that David was telling us about a couple of days ago. Doesn't have to be a experience that floors you, spins you around, and changes your life. It can be a single flower. Today, I followed the street a little further, close to the river, and I heard the song of a red-winged blackbird. And again, just that song. That was all that was needed. That was everything there was in the universe for that moment. I believe that we can have these experiences several times in a single second, maybe more. Maybe my limitation is thinking I can just have a few of them in a second. There is a stream of these. And I know that we've all been experiencing these. I think too that these moments of awe or opening of the magnanimous mind, collapsing of self and other that Hongzhi talks about. I think that this is just part of the story too, and that there are also many moments that we might think of in terms of the parental mind, the mind of compassion. And so on this walk, maybe I catch someone's eye and it's filled with pain. And so the heart of compassion can open up. And again, self and other, this boundary is softened. Maybe I'm walking with my own pain. That happens too. And so what about that? Why is that not just being pulled into an egotistical morass, walking with heartbreak, walking with mental pain? I think that there is a way to meet that does not involve ruminating on it, and it doesn't involve turning away. And ruminating, Melissa's used that word a couple times. I love that word. And I think you know that it comes from ruminants, from animals like cows and deer and sheep that eat grass or hay or leaves, things hard to digest. And they ruminate them. We say that chewing their cud, which is kind of a euphemism, what ruminating is they chew on them and then they swallow them and digest them for a while. And then they vomit them back up into their mouths and chew some more. And then they swallow again and so on. I was gonna say so on ad nauseum, but I think we're already there somehow. And it, doesn't that sound familiar when you're dealing with trauma, with heartache? Have you done that? I know that is my mode. And so not ruminating, but not turning away. For me, it's saying to the heartache, saying to the pain, okay, so I'll walk with you. I won't talk to you. I'm not going to engage with you. That won't get us anywhere. But let's walk. As long as you need. And then there's the third mind that David introduced us to. These are the three minds the Tenzo needs to have in Dogen. The third mind, the joy mind. The mind that responds to the shine of things. Melissa related this to the Sambhogakaya, the Buddha's enjoyment body. That for me is picking up on the radiance of things, the shine, what can't be put into words. And so a couple days ago, it was turning the corner and seeing these amazing orange roses, the orange of flame azaleas, and not even for a moment thinking, well, roses are supposed to be red, but just this orange color that filled me with joy. And then again, yesterday, I was walking and it was this bright green, intense bright green of crabgrass against some red stained mulch. And before I could go to my thoughts about crabgrass and how it wasn't good, I had already been taken by its shine, by its beauty. And again, a little moment of leaving the habitual self behind and really living. So these minds, these terms, don't be confused. Don't worry so much about them. These are parts of the myriad, the thousands of words and myriad interpretations that are just blah, blah, blah. If they can shake us out of our delusions, fine. If they can't, they just add to them. But what's important is to live your life, is to really live and to open your heart, to open your mind. Every moment, a Dharma gate. Every moment, a nano adventure. Thank you.